This is The Hockey Show with Dave Rothenberg, presented by the All-American Auto Group, the number one Ford auto group in the Northeast. Learn more at allamericanford.net.
And it is The Hockey Show, brought to you by the All-American Auto Group, with locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant, and Sloman's. Just call 1-800-ALARM-ME to receive a free doorbell camera with the installation of your Sloman Shield. Keep your family safe. Call 1-800-ALARM-ME. Well, we are now done with the regular season. Would it be Washington or would it be Pittsburgh? Rangers could actually have a hand in their own opponent for round one, although it did not matter. Rangers actually get a victory 3-2 last night over the Capitals. That keeps Washington from the third spot in the division, but it wouldn't have mattered anyway because Pittsburgh gets the victory over Columbus. It is now set. The Rangers will take on the Pittsburgh Penguins in round one of the Eastern Conference quarterfinals. Here, as the East breaks down, it's the Panthers and the Capitals, it's the Leafs and the Lightning, it's the Canes and the Bruins, and it's the Rangers and the Penguins. And of course, every game will be right here on 98.7 ESPN. Let's look at what we saw during the regular season between the Rangers and the Penguins. They faced off four times. How did it play out? On February 26th, the only win for Pittsburgh in this series, it came on a Saturday afternoon. Tristan Jarry with the shutout. He was sensational in this one, made 27 saves. Malkin scores via the power play in the third period. Your final score, 1-0 Pittsburgh with the victory. We jump ahead to March the 25th. At Madison Square Garden, it's all Rangers. Kreider has two. Kopp gets his first goal with the Rangers, and the Rangers walk through 5-1 on March 25th. Couple days later, on March the 29th, 3-2 in Pittsburgh. Rangers get the victory. They fall behind 1-0, score a couple of goals in the second period, a goal early on in the third period, and hold on for a 3-2 victory. They actually leapfrogged the Rangers into second place, and that's where they finished in this Metropolitan Division. Rangers finish in second place on the season, a phenomenal regular season. And the fourth and final matchup between these two teams came a couple weeks ago on April the 7th. It was all Rangers. It was all Igor Shesterkin. Rangers shut out the Penguins. 3-0 is your final. Shesterkin, 30 saves. 3-0 the final score. Vetrano and Panarin in period number two. And that was all she wrote as the Rangers move on. Second in the division. That is now official, and they are playoff bound, and it is Pittsburgh they will face in round one. So, that's as fresh as you could possibly get. Just happened late last night. First thing this morning, we jump right off into the Rangers and the Penguins first round matchup. Again, four times they faced each other this regular season. Pittsburgh got the best in game one. Rangers won game two, three, and four. Now, the big question mark surrounding this series is the goaltending for Pittsburgh. Will it be Jarry? Is he able to go? We know that he got injured a couple weeks back. Lower body injury. Is he able to go? That's the big question right now. And probably won't have the answer on that until Sunday, maybe even Monday. But it was a long season. And the Rangers, the nice thing for the Rangers is they got to kind of rest their best players down the stretch. Shesterkin didn't have to play last night. Panarin didn't have to play last night. So when they get started in the postseason, again, against Pittsburgh at the Garden, you don't have to worry about the Rangers having gone, you know, all in every single game of the regular season. It's the Rangers, and it's the Pens, and it starts from the Garden. And it is a very exciting time to be a Rangers fan. Again, Panthers, Caps, Leafs, Lightning, Canes, Bruins. And the one we care about right here is the Rangers and the Penguins. So there you have kind of the open. The stage is now set. We have a lot to do this morning on The Hockey Show. Chris Kreider, I mean, he's winning awards left and right. What awards? We'll let you know about that. Islanders and Rangers had an alumni game last Saturday. We'll get into that as well. And of course, we'll close the show with this day in hockey history. But we open with the postseason. It's upon us. It's the Rangers. It's the Penguins. All the games will be right here on 98.7 ESPN. So sit back and let's get started on a Saturday morning. Rothenberg with you on 98.7 ESPN.
Let's get a little extra money in your pocket.
Andy from Eric presents Wager Plays for April 30th. The Rangers, under the direction of coach Gerard Gallant, have earned a playoff spot for the first time in 5 years and will be kicking off this postseason at home after an unexpected but very successful season. The Rangers have handled the Penguins very well this season, with their 3-0 win earlier this month being one of their best played games. Smart Money says, go with the Rangers.
Andy from Merrick's Wager Plays are for entertainment only. As always, bet with your head, not with your heart. Gambling problem? Dial 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPENY.
Now back to The Hockey Show with Dave Rothenberg, presented by the All-American Auto Group, the number one Ford auto group in the Northeast. Learn more at allamericanford.net.
This is Tom Laidlaw, the New York Rangers. You are listening to The Hockey Show with Dave Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN New York.
Oh, thank you, Tom Laidlaw, and this is The Hockey Show. As the regular season, we put a big, beautiful bow on this thing, and the playoffs are all set up. Obviously, went through it in segment one about the Rangers, the matchup, the whole nine yards, getting started next week, all of it. Now we kind of look back and reflect on the season that was for the Rangers, and the season that was for the Rangers. And one man in particular had just a unbelievable year. Now, like we mentioned earlier, segment three, we have some sound from the Rangers-Islanders alumni game last weekend. So we'll get into that as well. Now, what the Rangers did yesterday was announced their team awards. And I know that you're at the edge of your seat. Who won the team awards? We could play a little guessing game. Now, Anthony, my producer on the show, I have these team awards in front of me. I don't believe you have the answer to who, in fact, won the team awards, do you?
I do not, and I know they came out yesterday, but yes. I just haven't gotten the chance to take a look at them.
All right. Now, this one, not all that difficult. Team MVP. Who would you guess won team MVP for the Rangers? You can play along at home as well. You're in your car this Saturday morning. Who do you think won team MVP for the Rangers?
That'd be Chris Kreider.
That would be incorrect.
Well, then there's only one other option, I would imagine.
Shestyorkin? And that is correct. Igor Shestyorkin wins team MVP. Now, they have an award known as the Player's Player. I would be lying to you if I said one guy received it. You have two to choose from. Take it. I don't know exactly what it means. The Player's Player. Maybe the best teammate. Maybe the guy that stands up for the teammates when the opposition comes after them. I don't know, in fact, what that means. Maybe a clubhouse, locker room kind of guy. But the Player's Player, not one, but two. Not one, but two. Any idea who won the Player's Player award for the Rangers?
Barkley, Goodrow, and Jacob Trouba.
All right, so now you're cheating.
No, I'm not.
Well, that's dead on accurate. How did you know that?
Well, the Player's Player, I think Jesper Fast has won it. Ryan Callahan has won it in the past. It goes to, usually, like you said, Dave, the player on the Rangers who is a great teammate, stands
like
up for his teammates.
Like an unheralded guy, maybe, right?
Yeah, and Jacob Trouba is without a doubt the leader of that defensive unit because he is the oldest, and he's not even that old, but you know how young the blue line is for the Rangers. And a lot of the younger guys look up to Trouba. He's always answering questions in the locker room. For the media. And with Goodrow, you know, they brought him in because he was a veteran presence. He does everything. He kills penalties. He could play on any line. He doesn't complain about where he plays. He could play center. He could play left wing. He could play right wing. And in my opinion, based on the way they usually give out those awards, I think that is who people would say is the Player's Player.
Well, you hit the nail on the head. Those two win the Player's Player award, Barkley Goodrow and Jacob Trouba. Now, one more, and then we'll move on to some of this Chris Kreider sound, and it's very interesting and entertaining. We'll hear from Adam Graves. I mean, there's a lot going on here today on The Hockey Show. The Good Guy Award. Good Guy Award goes to?
The Good Guy Award. Is that the media one?
I think it's a voted by the team.
Voted by the team as the Good Guy Award.
I guess who does the team
look
at as? No, not Lafreniere. Not a defenseman, I'll tell you that.
Okay, not a defenseman.
And not a netminder.
Not a netminder, not a defenseman.
Not a netminder, not a defenseman.
See, now you know I'm not cheating. Kevin Rooney?
No. I will tell you, this guy, vital on the power play. Maybe not the most vital on the power play, but vital on the power play.
Hmm. Ryan Strome?
Ryan Strome. Mm. And there you have it, Anthony. So, the first one, Shesterkin, not great by you. The second one, Goodrow and Trouba, unbelievable. And the good guy award, you struggled as well. But thanks for playing.
Oh, my God.
Thanks for playing.
I try. What do I win, Dave?
You get to sit here and enjoy the entirety this morning of the hockey show. How's that?
I'm very thankful for that.
I knew you would be. All right, can we turn our attention to one Chris Kreider?
Please do.
To say a terrific season would be a tremendous understatement. Kreider, phenomenal year. Culminated this week in two very special awards. Now, firstly, before the game against the Hurricanes on Tuesday, Kreider won the 2021-2022 Stephen McDonald Extra Effort Award. It's presented by Northwell Health. Now, the Stephen McDonald Extra Effort Award is presented annually to the Ranger, who, as chosen by the fans, goes above and beyond the call of duty. Now, this special award, which has been given annually since the 87-88 season, bears the name of devoted blue shirt fan and New York City police detective Stephen McDonald, who was shot and injured in the line of duty on July 12, 1986, and sadly passed away on January 10th of 2017. Here is the recipient of the Stephen McDonald Extra Effort Award. That is Chris Kreider on winning such a prestigious award.
I think to say that it was an honor is an understatement. Told the McDonald's it was probably the greatest honor in my hockey career. Knowing what the award stands for, what Steve stood for, the family represents, how important they are to the team. I mean, talked to C-Mac a decent amount, and you know they're a part of the Rangers family, always will be, and the guys understand that. So yeah, it was a surprise and an enormous honor.
So you can hear, I mean, for him to say that that's the best honor he's received in his career. I mean, he's a guy that just scored over 50 goals. He is on the verge of maybe becoming the captain of the Rangers. I mean, he is now a long-tenured Ranger, but that's the one piece that moves the needle for Chris Kreider. Says a lot about him and says a lot about the importance of this very special honor. Now, Rangers went on to lose that game 4-3. That eliminated them from any chance to win the Metropolitan Division and locked in the second seed in the Metro Division. Of course, we know what that means. Now, Kreider did manage to score his 52nd goal in that game, but was not really, as we've seen from him in the past, not really in the mood to talk about that. But here is Chris Kreider discussing other things. This loss hurts too much right now to reflect on my phenomenal season.
I don't know. It's a hard thing to reflect on after that game. Sorry. Don't have much for you right now. After the loss like that, it's kind of a tough pill to swallow. A couple close ones against a team that's just ahead of us in the standings at home in the last couple weeks. So, you know, we're a competitive group. Even though we secured home ice, secured playoffs, we wanted to win that game.
You know, it's funny. In the world of sports, there are certain guys that you hear them speak and you think it's a mirage. You think what they're saying is not real. It's not true. They care. They're all about themselves. I don't know what more you can hear or discuss about Chris Kreider. This is not the first time. I mean, when he got to 50 goals and they lost that game, the discussion was about the 50 goals. He's like, I don't care. The fact that we lost, it's the same thing with this from the other night. I really believe he doesn't care. I believe when he sits down in 5 years from now, getting 50 will matter. But I think he'll always remember that he got 50 and 52 and, you know, continues to score goals in bulk in games that they've wound up losing. So it's interesting to hear how different he is than so many athletes right now in the profession. More from Chris Kreider. Are you proud? And I'm sure this is going to be a yes. Are you proud to get home ice in round one of the postseason?
Yeah, I mean, it's what we set out to do. It was our goal at the beginning of the year. Now that we did that, though, we've got to continue to build and get ready for the stretch here for the real season. You know, you play 82 to try to punch your ticket, and the real hockey starts in a few games.
So away we go as the Rangers get ready for the postseason this coming week. Now, Rangers also honored Chris Kreider with another award, and this is a brand new one, right? The Stephen McDonald one started in 87-88. Well, obviously, this offseason, we had the passing of Mr. Ranger, Rod Gilbert. And now we have a Rod Gilbert Mr. Ranger Award given to the Rangers player who best honors Rod's legacy by exemplifying leadership qualities both on and off the ice and making a significant humanitarian contribution to his community. Let me read you a quote from Chris Drury. I'd like to congratulate Chris, meaning Kreider, on being the inaugural winner of the Rod Gilbert Mr. Ranger Award. That's Rangers president and GM Chris Drury. He goes on to say, since he made his debut with the Rangers a decade ago, which is really remarkable that it's already been 10 years, Chris has consistently and willingly devoted his time and efforts to charitable endeavors, especially through the Garden of Dreams Foundation. Chris's contribution in the community exemplifies the kindness and generosity that Rod demonstrated throughout his life. The leadership qualities Chris has shown in the community have translated into him being a leader for our team in the locker room through the example that he sets on a daily basis. Therefore, it is only fitting that Chris is the first annual recipient of this award, which he has rightly earned. Now, think about this week for Kreider. We know he's over 50. We know he's had a phenomenal season on the power play. And then to win these two awards, it's obvious who the leader in and out of the clubhouse or the locker room with this team happens to be. Here is Chris Kreider, courtesy of MSG Television, asked by Dave Maloney about winning the Rod Gilbert Mr. Ranger Award.
Pretty overwhelming.
Right.
Overwhelming couple of days. I was lucky enough to get to know Rod my first few years here. Obviously, didn't have the privilege of seeing him play hockey.
Right.
Heard terrific things, but got to know him as a person and saw what he did in the community. The example that he set for the entire organization. So, it's very, very humbling to be considered for the award.
He certainly had a charisma, didn't he? I mean, Rod, I always thought that like every day was a great day for Rod. It was great to be around him, wasn't it?
Yeah, just the energy he always had.
Right.
Treated everyone the exact same way. I think charisma is the right word.
Yeah.
Never a dull moment with him. Always quick with the story, quick with the joke. Always had that big smile on his face. I don't think I've ever been to a charitable event that he wasn't at. Even if it wasn't directly through the Rangers, he would be there. So he was everywhere. He was he was Mr. Ranger, but he was certainly Mr. New York as well.
And again, I know we've talked a couple of times over the time about playing for an original six and the tradition and engaging in people who have had a history with the franchise. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it's one of the things that makes this franchise so special.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those guys are still around, whether it was Rod or seeing Adam Graves around and getting to talk with him. I think Graves was one of the first people that I met when I first got drafted. Having that those touch points and having that kind of communication with guys who not only had unbelievable careers, but after they were done playing, continued to give back to the community. It's what makes the Rangers, New York Rangers.
Well, listen, congratulations once again, and we'll see you next time suiting up for the postseason.
Awesome. Thanks, Dave.
All right, Chris. Good job.
How exciting is that? Next time we see you will be the postseason. Now, during that answer, Chris Kreider gave us a little insight into Adam Graves, and Graves is another one. I mean, you talk about maybe the nicest guy you've ever met in the sport. Adam Graves just might be that guy. He also sat down with our Dave Maloney, giving his answers on both Rod Gilbert and Chris Kreider.
Adam's quite a night. Rod Gilbert, I know we've talked numerous times about Rod, and he never, like I said to Chris, he never seemed to have a bad day, did he?
Well, you know what? He's put a smile on all our faces
on
many, many times, and I always said that. He was the one person that could walk into a room or a building like Madison Square Garden and light up the entire building because he just loved life, and it was infectious, and we miss him, but he's with us all the time, and whenever I think of Rod, I smile.
So. Yeah, no, he really was. I mean, he certainly made a name for himself as a player and then beyond extended it. Now, Chris Kreider, the first recipient of an award, an appropriate one.
Outstanding. And I can't say enough great things about, first of all, Chris Kreider, the man, and his character, and having the good fortune of knowing him for over a decade and seeing him when he was first drafted, and the growth of his game and how committed he is to his craft and how hard he's worked and conditioning and his commitment to his teammates, his commitment to the community, most importantly, how he's leveraged his success on the ice to really impact a lot of kids. And he does so many special things, both where you see it and quietly,
sure.
And just have a ton of respect for him.
It was interesting to hear Marty St. Louis talk about him this morning, how he was always a fastball thrower, and now he's developed a couple different ways to get to the net and get the puck to the net.
Yeah, and for me, sometimes it's figuring out what works, and I think he's just so dynamic. lineup with his speed, his shot and stride, and then on the power play, just figuring out different ways to get a stick on pucks and screen. And he's very smart, especially around the net where he can make great plays. You saw that the other night, the play to Lafreniere,
sure,
where
absolutely.
Just he saw that guy in the back, and his ability to really figure out where the puck's going off the goalies, on a replay on a rebound or whatever, or if Mika's on the sideboards, he finds that seam, and it's not easy always to find that seam, but once you figure it out, I mean, that you're seeing it. He's going to continue to score because he's got that ability, and I really do think he has that sense, that scoring sense.
Well, listen, you scored a lot too, so he must have learned something from you along the way.
Well, a few more of mine were off my rear end and my skates. I think he's got a little better hands than I ever had.
Now, remember, Adam Graves had 52 goals in the year the Rangers won the Stanley Cup, 93 and 94. And the amazing thing about this season from Chris Kreider, if you remember last year at the trade deadline, there was a lot of hemming and hawing, and there was a lot of indecision. Would Kreider remain a Ranger, or would they trade him to a team that's looking to compete for the Stanley Cup? They held on to him, signed him to this long-term deal, and to say it's paid off tremendously would be an understatement. Now, Adam Graves, what's the one thing you think about with Graves? I mean, great player, Rangers legend, 50-plus goals, was on that Stanley Cup team of 93-94. Now, they did win the President's Trophy, and the expectation was that that team was going to win the Cup. I don't know that the expectation with this team is that they're going to win the Cup, but Adam Graves was asked during the alumni game last week, do you see any similarities between this team and the 94 Cup-winning team?
Well, I will tell you that this current team is as exciting a team as there is in the National Hockey League, certainly one of the youngest teams. But for me, it's a humble group. The similarities are they're very close-knit. I think at every position, starting in net, we were spoiled with Mike Richter, as we were as an organization, having Hank for 15 years, one of the all-time greats, and now you see the type of goaltending that they're getting from Igor and Georgie when they're playing, regardless who's in net. The goaltending has been fantastic, and you see a Norris Trophy winner with Fox, and you think back of Weegee and Zuby and some of those comparisons, but it's not just one or two guys. You look at Keandre Miller, Snyder, organically, the way he's improving game by game, Lindgren, Trouba, they've got depth at the back end, and then you look up front, and the penalty kill and the power play is top two or three in the league. It doesn't matter what situation you're in, and then the character and I think the depth and bringing a guy like Cobb and some of these other additions, it's exciting. But again, 16 teams get into the playoffs, and it's anyone's game. But I will tell you, because I'm a huge Ranger fan, looking forward to the last four games, although I won't be able to watch probably today because we'll be on the ice. But three games down the stretch at home here, and can't wait for the drop of the puck in the first round.
The drop of the puck, the first round, and every Rangers fan very, very excited about that. And it's funny, when you hear Adam Graves discussing it, he talks about Mike Richter to Henrik Lundqvist to Igor Shesterkin. Boy, I mean, franchises go the history of the franchise without netminders like that. The Rangers have gone from one to the next to the next. All right. Quick break. Come back. We'll hear a lot of Adam Graves, Darius Kasparaitis. Why? The Islanders-Rangers alumni game, it was a sold-out crowd last weekend. We hear a lot of sound from that. What are these guys up to now? The importance of the alumni game, it's all happening. So quick break, we'll come back, and we'll get to it on this Saturday morning. Rothenberg with you on The Hockey Show right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Andy from Merrick presents today's Defensive Analytics, sponsored by Sloman's, the leader in home defense. After an 82-game season and heading into the postseason, the Rangers finished as a top-three defense in goals allowed. The Islanders team defense also finished in the top 10, but the failure to make the postseason highlights the need for some more offensive punch. As for New Jersey, a bottom-five goals allowed finish means there is work to be done for the young and upcoming Devils.
Back to The Hockey Show with Dave Rothenberg, presented by the All-American Auto Group, the number one Ford auto group in the Northeast. Learn more at allamericanford.net.
This is Adam Graves of the New York Rangers. You're listening to The Hockey Show with Dave Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN New York.
Wow. Wow. I mean, I feel, Ma, we made it. Listen to all these former stars in the league mentioning me and the hockey show, and they love it. And this is on the heels of Henrik Lundqvist calling for my birthday last month. I mean, it is all happening here on the hockey show on 98.7 ESPN. So when I say to you, biggest rivalry in all of sports, I think you look at locally, is there a bigger local rivalry that we have than Islanders-Rangers? No. I think unequivocally there's not. Now, you look at your favorite teams, who do you, and I think sports hate, very healthy, very important, right? So I say Giants, you say Cowboys, Eagles. I don't think Washington is at that level anymore, if in fact they ever were. Like, you hate the Cowboys, you hate the Eagles. I say Jets. Jets, Dolphins, Jets, Patriots. I maybe I'm wrong because I'm not a Jets fan, but I don't know if the Jets are at the same level as with their teams that they have rivalries with, as say the Islanders and the Rangers. Yankees, Yankees, Red Sox, big, right? That the Yankees, Red Sox is a huge one. Mets, I guess Braves, maybe Phillies, but not at the level. But as far as the local rivalry, where it's two teams. Mets, Yankees, that's not really a rivalry. I mean, Mets fans and Yankees fans don't really care for each other, but I don't consider that to be a major rivalry. Giants, Jets, no, not really. Nets, Knicks, maybe more than it ever was just because of how things have gone recently, but I don't look at that. Like, honestly, growing up, I didn't root for the Nets. I wasn't like, go Nets, but I didn't care at all about the Nets as a Knicks fan. If you want to include the Devils in here, you know, I don't look at the Devils as having as big a rivalry with the Islanders or the Rangers as the two have with each other. So you look around all of sports, Duke, North Carolina, we just saw that recently. That's a big rivalry. Michigan, Ohio State, football-wise, huge rivalry. Auburn, Alabama, huge rivalry. What else? Oklahoma, Nebraska, at one point was, maybe Oklahoma, Texas. But, I mean, there's not 50 of them. There's a handful, and one of the handfuls is Islanders-Rangers. Now, 1 week ago, they played in an alumni game where all the former players got to go at it and you know, go after guys they used to play against. And I think it's different now when you're of a more advanced age, but I bet you there's still that unlikability to some of these guys towards the others. So let me set the scene. Sold-out crowd. 1,500 fans come together on Long Island 1 week ago to watch the Islanders take on the Rangers alumni facing off in an afternoon. We'll call it a scrimmage presented by Northwell Health. Now, outcome was a 9-8 shootout victory for the Islanders alumni, which truthfully I don't love, but they did win the game. But the game meant more than just the final score. New York hockey legends had the chance to reconnect and meet passionate fans while doing it all for a great cause, as a $25,000 check was presented to the Northwell Health Foundation prior to the drop of the puck. And we had a reporter out at the scene, and he sat down with a couple of particulars from the game, the Islanders 9-8 shootout victory over the Rangers alumni. Let's take a listen. Here is one Adam Graves. We heard him earlier. We'll hear him again. How quickly, when you were asked to play in this alumni game, did it take for you to say, oh yeah, I'm in?
Well, I think any time, it doesn't matter. That's the interesting part, whether you're playing the National Hockey League or you're up and playing in a men's league up in Canada, or you're going to a tournament somewhere, or when you're a kid, when someone says they have ice, you're looking for your equipment. So for me, it's an easy one. It's something that everyone looks forward to. The only thing I will tell you is there's a little more pressure the older you get, because you're like, am I ready to get out there and do that? So you want to make sure that you get on your blades a little bit so that you're not too rusty, because you don't want to embarrass yourself or your teammates.
Now, you got to figure some of these guys are recently retired, and some of these guys are probably retired for a long time. So there might be a disparity in talent level, but that's, you know, not really of the utmost importance at the moment. The importance, that's what matters. How important, Adam Graves, is it to do this, to have an Islanders-Rangers alumni game?
The best part of the game, and we've said this so often, is the people, and not just the guys on the ice or people on the ice. Just everyone. And when you can get together and celebrate the community, the hockey community of New York, and support Northwell Health and their foundation and all the great things they do for families and kids, it's a special treat. And it's funny because Trotz was just in our locker room chat, and all these people that you respected so much and you played against, there's that friendship and that bigger family. For us, this is a celebration of hockey, and it's something that it'll be a tad bit slower than it was a couple decades ago, if not more, but nonetheless, it'll be a lot of fun.
And there's something fun about old-time hockey and rivals and having a dislike for a fan base, but a healthy respect for that team and that fan base as well. And I think that's what made this year so hard with the passing of so many, iconic New York legends, be it Mike Bossy, be it Roger Bear, and it goes beyond even that, be it Clark Gillies. It's been a really tough and a really sad year for guys that have passed away over the last 12 months, and really even more recently than that, right? Over the last couple of months. And here's Adam Graves discussing, and it's a sad moment to discuss the alumni loss this year in this rivalry.
Well, I think when we talk about our brother and our bigger family, it's people that of such great character, whether it's Clark or Rod or Mike, some of the greatest that have ever played the game, and leaders in the community, and people that, even if you didn't play in their decades, they're friends, and they're people that you got to know and respected, even if when you were a kid, you watched them and you looked up to them, and although you didn't know them, you felt like you knew them, and then you get to meet them, and they make you just feel so special, because they're such humble and incredible people, and the impact, even if it's just a small amount of time that you're lucky enough to spend with them, it does resonate, and it's an influence, and it's something that you never forget. And I will tell you that so many players, we're walking down the hallways and there's so many players that you've either played with or against, or you've done charity events in Canada, the United States, and I feel like I've gotten to know, Brian Trotsky so well over the last decade and a bit with stuff in Canada, and spent so much time and, sat down and share stories, and that's the best part. And a weekend like this and having a game like this is, albeit a little slower, it's just an incredible celebration of that.
And you have to appreciate it when you can have it, because you never know at what point it's going to be sadly ripped away. So maybe it's even a little bit more special this year than we've seen in the past. More from Gravy, Adam Graves. The rivalry is great, but it's even better when both of these teams are good.
There's nothing better than when all three teams in the Tri-State area, the Rangers, the Devils, and, of course, the Islanders, are at the top of their game. It always makes the rivalry that much better. And certainly it's no different. What better way to celebrate hockey in New York than having the Islanders and the Rangers out here in Long Island? Because there's, as you know, there's a mixture of fans with ties to both organizations. And just it makes for a lot of fun.
It almost feels like it's three-tiered right now, right? The Rangers are, it's not even up for debate, clearly the best of the three teams. Islanders are obviously second, and when you look at the Islanders, see, I think a lot of the reason they had a struggle at times this year is just the way things played out. I mean, they're a good team. It's a dangerous team. We've seen them beat the Rangers twice this year, but more than that, you have your first, how many games on the road because your arena's not being built. And then COVID is a huge factor. And you probably shouldn't have played all those games without all those key components, but you were forced to. So the Islanders, I think they'll be good again next year and absolutely right back competing for a playoff spot. The Devils, I mean, there's some young talent there for the Devils, but there's quite a lot of work to be done as well. So the Devils, the third, the Islanders at the moment, the second, and the Rangers in the penthouse. Now, one of the Rangers we've discussed a lot on the Hockey Show recently, and it's been the passing of Rod Gilbert after last season. Now, we heard Adam Graves discussing Rod Gilbert earlier when he sat down with Dave Maloney, but this is a different story, and I want to let you hear it. Here is Graves giving a fun, cute story on Rod Gilbert.
Well, I was very fortunate to have the good fortune of playing with Rod, but I've known Rod for the better part of 3+ decades, and For me and anyone that's been lucky enough to wear that Ranger jersey, he epitomized everything that was great about it. And I say that because Rod wasn't just a friend, he was like family. And I can't tell you how many trips we did together, how many dinners, breaking bread, eating together, what he meant to my kids, what he meant to my, Violet, my wife, my family. Rod had a way of making anyone that he came in contact with, I don't care if you were a toddler or you were, later on in your years, he had a way of connecting and making you feel special, and he'll always be missed, but his legacy will always be with us. And he set the gold standard as far as what it means to be a Ranger, not only on the ice, but more importantly, probably in the community, in New York. He was Mr. New York. He'll always be Mr. New York, and he meant so much to so many people. And I know just at different events, we had Skate with the Greats, and we were sharing stories and pictures and, you know, some of those things that you kind of forget. They're in there, but you don't really talk about them. And then you see a picture and it reminds you, and it just brings you to another story. Rod was one of the great storytellers of anyone that's ever played the game, but he always did it with a smile, and he was engaging, and he could tell the same story, but just, you know, curve it a certain way depending on who the audience was, and they could enjoy it. That's what that's just one part, and Judy and his entire family are just such a big part of our bigger Ranger family.
You know, when you take a step back and look at the, for lack of a better term, ambassadors the Rangers have had over the years, right? Rod Gilbert, Mr. New York, that's who he was known as. I mean, there's not a kid that was 10 years old in the last couple of years that wouldn't see Rod Gilbert know exactly who he was and what he meant to the organization. Mark Messier, Adam Graves, right? Henrik Lundqvist, current day. It's really remarkable. And then earlier in the show, we heard from Chris Kreider, and he, you know, picks up that mantle that's been passed from generation to generation to generation. Now, another former Ranger, and this was a guy.
He was a former Ranger, Dave, and former Islander.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I just thought you were just throwing it, because at the moment, I was like, wait, he played for the Rangers?
No, but he certainly did, but he played for both, so he's both sides of the rivalry.
Oh, he sure does.
This man now, that we haven't said his name yet.
We haven't said his name yet, and thanks for interrupting, Anthony. I appreciate it, but we haven't said his name yet.
Happy
but if
to
I
help.
Gave you this, I'll let you play. Now, you know the answer, but I'll let you play. If I said to you, this is the definition, in my mind, the definition for I want this guy on my team, but if he's on the opponent, I detest him. Who would that be?
Betson Stenit.
No. Who else would you guess?
Darius Kasparaitis.
That's correct. Guess number two, dead on. Now, as Anthony mentioned after he so rudely interrupted me, Darius Kasparaitis at the alumni game last week was asked, he played on both teams, which fan base cares more about the Islanders and Rangers rivalry?
One thing I always say, the Islanders, because I feel like, you know, like I support Manchester City, so it's like I'm always neighbors. You know, I think Rangers have a longer history, and I remember being playing at the Rangers, you know, even like when I played for Pittsburgh, you know, we hated to play Rangers, we always wanted to beat them, and I think when I played for New York Islanders, you know, that was the game you get excited about. When I played for the Rangers, it was a little different feeling, I think, because every time you play anywhere, most of the teams came to New York Rangers, so, you know, it was like that all the time. But I think Islander fans are more noisier than the Rangers fans, especially when it comes to the rivalry.
Now, I'm gonna let him go away with his take, even though I completely disagree. Unless it's kind of like the Rangers feel like they're the upper crust in the more important team, and the Islanders feel like they're in the Rangers' shadow, which I guess is a possibility. More from, as Anthony so appropriately guessed, Darius Kasparaitis, the importance of an alumni game during a year where there's been, as we've discussed, sadly, so much loss.
One thing that's very important, that, you know, I personally knew all those guys, and they were very deeply involved in alumni, you know, especially Gilbert and Clark Gillis. You know, I got to know him through alumni. He was a great, you know, human being, and it's important to cherish. You know, we never know, especially the older guys. You know, we never know what can happen. And I think for people who were following the team for a long time, I think it's very important for them to see the alumni. And you know, I'm very happy that, you know, Islanders alumni stepped up and doing a lot of events now too, because Rangers always had a good alumni. So I think to just, you know, be around and appreciate each other, because, you know, the life is too short, and sometimes you never know. Some guys will never be again in the locker room, so we have to appreciate it.
So that, of course, is Darius Kasparaitis. Anthony, was our reporter out there on Long Island holding up a shoe to record the interviews?
I think a Marantz brick might have done a little better.
I mean, can we next year, if this hockey show and hopefully those continues, and on top of that, our reporters are out there getting sound, maybe we can provide them with something that would record a little bit better?
Like I'd hate to disparage.
Like a microphone kind of thing?
They went out there, they did the work for us, so we greatly appreciate it. But, you know, that could have been Darius Kasparaitis or a guy on the E-train. You know, there's no in-between.
Or it could have been Darius Kasparaitis on the E-train.
Well, you know what? I never thought of that.
Yeah. All right. So, you know what? Making fun aside, we have a giveaway, and we'll do that right now. We have some devil's swag, like I like to say, to give away. Very easy to enter. What do you do? Just text GOAL, G-O-A-L, to 44202. Again, that's GOAL to 44202. We'll select a winner at random and send them the devil's swag. All from your home for the hookup, your good friends, especially me. I think I'm really mostly responsible for this hookup. Dave Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN. So take a quick break. Come back this day in hockey history and forget about 50 with Kreider. 60 goals this season? We'll get to all of it next, right here on The Hockey Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Today's Hockey Heart Spotlight shines on the Rangers-Islanders alumni game. Last Saturday at Northwell Arena on Long Island, Rangers alumni Adam Graves, Stefan Matteau, Alexei Kovalev, and Brandon Dubinsky faced off against Islanders alum Pierre Turgeon, Darius Kasparaitis, Aram Asham, and Benoit Hold. Coach Brian Trottier's Islanders defeated Coach Ron Gressner's Rangers 9-8 after a nail-biting shootout. But the real winners here was Northwell Health Foundation, who received a check for $25,000 towards the work they do for the community. Be a team player. Be credited with an assist by calling 516-321-6320 or go to support.northwell.edu. Hockey Heart Spotlight is brought to you by the law offices of Andrew M. Cohn. For two decades, providing high-end legal services for families who have a child with a disability. The power play is to call 516-877-0595 or go to the web at amcohenlaw.com.
Now back to The Hockey Show with Dave Rothenberg, presented by the All-American Auto Group, the number one Ford auto group in the Northeast. Learn more at allamericanford.net.
And, of course, it is The Hockey Show on this Saturday morning, brought to you by Sloman's. Call 1-800-ALARM-ME to receive a free doorbell camera with the installation of your Sloman Shield. Keep your family safe. Call 1-800-ALARM-ME. Now, what we have to do is get into a little This Day in Hockey History, presented by the All-American Auto Group. Yes, This Day in Hockey History. Locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. The number one Ford auto group in the Northeast, allamericanford.net. So let's go way back. In fact, 50 years ago today, April 30th, 1972, where were you? I was not even born, but Ken Hodge was, and he scored three goals for the only playoff hat trick of his NHL career, and Garnett Bailey scores the winner with 2:16 remaining in the third period to give the Bruins, sadly, a 6-5 victory against the Rangers at Boston Garden in Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final. Hodge's three goals helped the Bruins build a 5-1 comfortable lead. Bailey shot beats Eddie Jockeman for the win after the Rangers score four consecutive goals to tie the game at 5-5. It's the first time in 43 years that Boston and New York play in the Stanley Cup Finals. Of course, something we cannot see anymore today. We also had a couple of pretty incredible seasons in the National Hockey League. Austin Matthews, the kid from Arizona, currently playing with Toronto, becomes the first ever American-born player to hit 60 goals. Here is, courtesy of Sportsnet 590 in Toronto, goal number 60.
Rebound to Matthews on the far boards. He gets it back to Riley. Riley to Nylander, and he fired it high and wide. Matthews trying to corral it to keep it in. Just did. Top of the circle. Scores! Austin!
Just incredible. 60 goals from Austin Matthews. He's now tied with Stamkos, who had 60, and we'll get to him in a moment. Burry, who had two seasons of 60. Mike Bossy had a year of 60. Guy Lafleur, Steve Schott, and Dennis Mrazek as well. And then you go to the all-time leaders in goals scored for a season, and it's just remarkable. You know, people say all the time, records that will never be broken. In 1981-1982, Wayne Gretzky scored 92 goals. That might be a record that is never, ever broken. And then, 2 years later, he had 87. The most goals ever by a non-Wayne Gretzky name? Brett Hull at 86 for the Blues in 1991, and Mario Lemieux had 85 for the Penguins in 88-89. Those are the only guys ever, Lemieux, Hull, and Gretzky twice, to score more than 80 goals in a season. So that's big news. Austin Matthews getting number 60. Also big news, Steven Stamkos getting 100 points. Now, I said to you, he came up in, what, 2008, 2009. Steven Stamkos, this is the first year he ever has scored 100 points. You look through, when he was 19, he had 95. 21 in 2011, 2012, he had 97. But this is it. First year, he gets over 100. Also played in 81 of 82 games.
That can't be right, Dave.
What do you mean?
That Steven Stamkos never scored 100 points?
I'm telling you, Anthony. Have you no respect for me?
I have respect for you. I with how good Steven Stamkos has been, injuries aside, within the last couple of years, I find, didn't he have a 60-goal season?
Yes. He had a 60-goal season. I just mentioned his 60-goal season. He had a 60-goal season when he was 21 years old, but only 37 assists that year. Well, that equals 97.
And then 98 in 2018. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
first time ever. If you didn't interrupt me all the time and you just listened a little bit, maybe you would know.
Oh, my God.
Now you know. What's the oh, my God? Why are you playing that?
I don't know. I just felt that it was right at the time.
No.
I'm feeling attacked.
You're feeling, well, I think that's viable. So there you have it. This day in hockey history, Stamkos, first time he ever gets over 100 points. Austin Matthews, first American-born player to get to 60 goals in a season. How's that for you, Anthony? Does that work?
It was a great season, Dave. I always enjoy doing this with you. I can't wait till next year.
Anthony, what are you talking about?
Well, it's the end of the season. That's it. We're
it's
done,
It's the
right?
end of the regular season. This show Uh-oh. Goes nowhere. This show rolls along.
Big news! Jazz hands!
Yes, we are here as long as the Rangers are here.
Oh.
So, Anthony, I'm hopeful that we're going to get four more series of postseason hockey and take you all the way into July.
We can only be so lucky, Dave.
We can only be so lucky. But for this week, we are done, and we hand the baton over to Joe Wiz. For Anthony Pusick, from Andy from Merrick, for Ray Dinahan, I'm Dave Rothenberg. I'll be back with you at 9 o'clock this morning, take you all the way till noon. This has been The Hockey Show right here, which doesn't end today, continues through the postseason with the Rangers on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to The Hockey Show with Dave Rothenberg, presented by the All-American Auto Group, the number one Ford auto group in the Northeast. Learn more at allamericanford.net.